It's time for Wonderful Water, our regular check-in with OWASA, Orange Water and Sewer Authority, our community's partner for clean drinking water and environmental protection, providing water and sewer services for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. It's the drinking water side that we're going to be focusing on today, as last week we had the long-awaited EPA announcement of their first-ever drinking water regulations for PFAS, so-called forever chemicals. These compounds are used for waterproofing and have been for decades, and for nonstick purposes for products like upholstery, food wrappers, nonstick pans. It ends up in the soil, the air, and of course the water all over the place. And now water utilities all over the place in the United States are going to be faced with removing those chemicals when drinking water is polluted with PFAS. So we welcome to the program now OWASA's Water Supply and Treatment Manager, Monica Dodson. First of all, Monica, thank you for making time out of your busy day to be here.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm happy to be here.
And I wonder if we could talk a little bit about what these – I know these are no surprise, obviously. Mm-hmm. We knew these were coming for a long time. What did you see in these regulations when they came out?
Yeah. So like you said, these regulations were not a surprise to OWASA, but they're a big deal nonetheless. OWASA has set what they call maximum contaminant levels for six PFAS compounds in drinking water. These are levels that drinking water providers must meet by 2029. Well before these regulations were announced, OWASA has been monitoring levels in our drinking water and planning and implementing strategies to reduce these compounds.
Does 2029 sound attainable?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like I said, because we've been monitoring for these, we have a good handle on where they're coming from and how much. And we've got some next steps that we'll be looking at removal.
So what does this mean for OWASA going forward in the short and long term?
Yeah. First and foremost, our goal is to provide clean drinking water to our community and, of course, meet these regulations. Like many utilities across the nation, OWASA will need to put additional treatment in place to meet these goals. For OWASA, we first needed to understand the PFAS levels of the water. We've been monitoring for PFAS compounds in our water supply reservoirs and treating drinking water since 2018. We have two main water supply reservoirs, Cane Creek Reservoir and University Lake. We know that there are elevated levels of PFAS in our Cane Creek Reservoir, and fortunately, University Lake has been very low and often undetected. We're using our water monitoring data to help us make decisions in reducing PFAS levels in the community's drinking water. We've been able to optimize our current treatment process with the use of powder activated carbon to significantly reduce these compounds. And we have a project underway to design and construct advanced treatment that will further reduce PFAS levels in our community's drinking water.
Good to hear that things are already in progress. Well, when can we expect the new treatment facility to be actually treating the water?
Yeah. So we're simultaneously designing the new facility and pilot testing technologies that will be most effective and efficient at reducing PFAS levels in our community's drinking water. The two technologies that we're testing are granular activated carbon and ion exchange. They're similar in that they're good at capturing PFAS compounds, but it really comes down to our specific water quality characteristics. Which is what the pilot testing is going to answer for us. So we expect this construction to begin next year, 2025, and the facility to be up and running by 2028.
No, that seems great. These years, I'm like simultaneously feeling like it sounds way in the future, mm-hmm. and then remembering that it's actually 2024.
Absolutely.
We're almost there. As a OWASA customer and bill payer, I do have to ask how this is all going to get paid for.
Yeah. In our proposed budget, it does include a rate increase that would cover much of the cost over the next several years. We're also applying for federal and state funding, and we're also participating in a class action lawsuit to help fund the project and future operations and maintenance of the facility.
So the other obvious question here that people are probably wondering is, like, is their water safe right now? Mm-hmm. Like, should they be concerned right now based on what we now know these safe levels are?
Yeah. First, I would say that we're exposed to PFAS in many ways each day. There are types of products that we use in our everyday lives that contain PFAS, and those include things like nonstick cookware, waterproof clothing, stain-resistant fabrics, certain cosmetics, and even certain food packaging like microwave popcorn bags. We can minimize our exposure to PFAS by being mindful of these sources and reducing the use of these products. Drinking water is a portion of daily exposure of PFAS. And while WASA works to put a permanent solution in place, if community members have concerns about limiting their exposure in drinking water, there are filters, both home and pitcher filters, that can reduce some PFAS levels. We've shared information on our website at awasa.org, and folks can certainly reach out to us, and we'd be happy to provide them additional information and resources.
It seems, and we're speaking with Monica Dodson, OWASA's Water Supply and Treatment Manager. It seems like I was not hearing PFAS as recently as like 3 years ago. I'm sure you were. Mm-hmm. But as just a random member of the public, it was not a word that was or a term that was coming up until – and then suddenly part of that was that I lived in the Pacific Northwest and then moved to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it was like it's in the news all the time. But it is still relatively new, even though we're hearing about it all the time. For most people, this is a relatively new thing. Do you have a recommendation on if a reliable source, if people want to learn more, particularly about how this pertains to them in terms of their drinking water?
Yeah, absolutely. So earlier this year, we set up a hub of PFAS information on our website. Visitors to the site can select Learn and PFAS in your water. The landing page allows people to explore all of our monitoring data from water to biosolids, our future plans, and what they can do. It also offers reliable links to sources of PFAS information as far as regulations and health studies.
And what about if folks want to kind of be keeping up with what's going on other than listening to Wonderful Water on News on the Hill on 97.9 The Hill? How can people stay engaged on this?
Yeah, so in addition to our webpage, we also launched a newsletter focused on updating our community on PFAS, which they can also sign up for on our PFAS and Your Water webpage. Additionally, this summer we'll be hosting a series of community PFAS discussions. OWASA will be joined by experts in PFAS regulations, science, engineering, and environmental law who will guide us through their understanding of PFAS in their realm of expertise and discuss them with our community. Folks who are interested can keep an eye on our website and our social media channels for announcements on the upcoming events.
Our guest has been Monica Dodson, OWASA's Water Supply and Treatment Manager. We're just about out of time, a little bit more, if there's anything else you wanted to mention that we haven't gotten to yet.
I don't think so. Like I said, I just really invite the customers, if they have questions, concerns, visit our website and give us a call. We are happy to talk folks through this.
I appreciate you coming in to share this with us on the air, and I'm sure we'll talk again as this will be an ongoing conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.